Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode number 546 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell. My guest today is Allie Hazelwood. Allie has a new anthology out in print called Loathe to Love You. So we are going to talk about, well, the anthology and the novellas inside it. But also we talk about her becoming a full-time writer and the pitfalls of a creative outlet that you love becoming a job. Then, silly questions. I decided that 2023 is the year of silly questions, so I hope you enjoy them. I have a compliment this week, makes me so happy, to Abby G. Biologists have discovered a new bird. It is rare. It is beautiful. Its song makes the whole forest be quiet for just a moment, and they are naming it after you. If you would like a compliment of your own or you would like to support the show, please have a look at our Patreon at patreon.com/smartbitches. Every pledge means that the show keeps going every week, and I have a finely crafted transcript from Garlic Knitter, and you get bonus episodes and a really lovely Discord that is now one of my favorite places on the internet. Hello and thank you to our Patreon community. You are absolutely fabulous today and every day. This episode is brought to you in part by Pear Eyewear. I love my Pear eyeglasses, and I'm so excited that I have two pair of glasses. Usually I only have one, and I have customizable options. The new year is a great opportunity to experiment with your look, right? And with Pear Eyewear, I can switch how my glasses look with base frames and then custable magnetic top frames in hundreds of colors and styles. Pear Eyewear's base frames come in a classic set of styles. I have the Finley in a remixed blue tortoise, but the corners are magnetic, so I can use the top frames to change the color, the pattern, the style. I have a sunglasses top frame that is gold glitter with rose gold lenses, and I love them, and even one of my teenagers thinks they're cool. And as I've mentioned before, I've worn glasses my entire life, and I've always worn bifocals, which are very expensive. But with Pear, the base frames start at $60, and I can add top frames from limited edition collections. I really like having more variety in how my glasses look. I like having more than one pair of glasses. Experiment with who you can be in 2023 with Pear. Go to PairEyewear.com/Sarah for 15% off your first purchase. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com/Sarah. This podcast is brought to you in part by Ritual, my favorite nerdy vitamin. Perfection is impossible. So let yourself off the hook with Ritual. Ritual knows it is almost impossible to get every nutrient you need 100% of the time. So they made a multivitamin that helps you complete any gaps to support your health. As I've said, I'm very much a set it and forget it kind of person. I like solutions that are easy and that I don't have to think about. I never know what day or year it is, especially in January. And I like Ritual because I never have to remember to order more. I also like knowing what each ingredient is and why it's there. The Essential for Women 18 Plus has high quality ingredients and a traceable supply chain, so I know where each ingredient comes from down to the supplier, whether it's vitamin D from the UK or omega-3 DHA from Canada. The Essential for Women is also one of the few women's multis that's USP verified, meaning that what is on the label is what is in the formula. Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. Great news. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/Sarah to start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. Are you ready? Let's do this. On with my podcast with Allie Hazelwood. I love that Nicolas Cage looks over your shoulder.
Thank you.
You've crammed him into a little box.
Yes. Look how well it fits. And he came before the bookshelf. Like, I've had him for years. So
wow.
It truly was always, we were meant to be together.
It's it's really just incredible how perfectly his head fits in the shelf.
Truly, yeah, it was a whole meant to be thing. Or I can only assume that IKEA knew that one day people would want to cram him inside their bookshelves.
They must have known.
How could they not?
I mean, the needs of your Nicolas Cage sequin pillows. I mean, I imagine there was a meeting, right? Like at IKEA HQ.
I'm sure. It was a very urgent meeting. Everyone was like, are we addressing this very important issue?
Yeah. These are the things that shoppers are looking for right now. We know this from the internet.
Yeah.
Any questions for me?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Much quizzing, much hard questions here.
I'm ready. I have studied.
You've done events with me. You know I bring weird questions.
I know. It was amazing, by the way. I think I don't know if I ever told you, but after our event with Christina and Lauren in DC, I was moderating my friend's launch. It was Ali Brady's launch for the Beach Trap. And I did it like a Jeopardy type of thing. I totally copied it.
Oh, that's so great.
It was amazing. I also kind of did the thing that you did where you kind of hid unexpected questions behind the categories. I had so much fun creating those questions. I want to moderate in that style until the day I die. Amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. I had so much fun putting it together too. Mostly because when you're on stage and there were four authors, it was you, Christina and Lauren and Kate Claiborne. That's a lot of voices and it was a lot of people, and having lots of different questions and making it sort of like a interactive trivia is really fun. I'm so glad it worked for you. All right. This is the only awkward part here. Would you please introduce yourself and tell the people who will be listening who you are and what you do?
Hi everyone. My name is Allie Hazelwood and I guess I am a writer. I'm still coming to terms with it. My imposter syndrome is really high, and I recently left my other job to just write full time. And it's been really weird. Like my neighbors ask me, what do you do? And I'm like, my imposter syndrome is too bad to say I'm a writer. So I'm like, every time I'm like, I don't know what I do.
Well,
but yeah, I am a writer.
I think you qualify.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do write, right?
Yeah.
I'm a writer of, mostly rom-coms, romance novels. And my first book was The Love Hypothesis. It came out in September 2021. And then my second book, Love on the Brain, came out in summer 2022. And they're both rom-coms about women in STEM. And that's who I am.
Congratulations on becoming full-time writer.
Thank you. It's just like a one-year trial period, I have to say. We'll see what happens.
I remember very clearly, I can tell you the date that was my last day of work before I quit to run Smart Bitches full time. And that was in 2010. It's been almost 13 years now. And I remember so clearly, like, being at home, like, what do I do with myself? What am I supposed to be doing right now? Because writing was something and running the site was something that I had crammed into every spare moment around my job. And then suddenly the job wasn't there anymore. And I was like, well, what do I do? What do I do all day?
I know. It's also just generally terrifying because it goes from this fun hobby to this thing that you simply cannot do as well as your full-time job, and to this thing where, like, now kind of my livelihood depends on whether I do well in that fun hobby thing.
Oh, yes. So
it's really, there's a lot of anxiety.
Oh,
here.
Yes. And every year, like right now, it's December. So for my business, I'm starting to, like, do all of my year-end annual reports and stuff like that. And every year there's a moment where I'm like, still here. Still running a blog, which is a very old technology, but I'm still here. You are going to do great. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
You've got
thank
this.
You. This is really inspiring, though. It's really inspiring to get, like, positive stories of people who were able to go from, you know, just a hobby to, not just a hobby, but, like, from hobby to this is my full time. Yeah.
And there's some danger there. I mean, I often struggle with the fact that I made my job out of the thing that I love. And so I have to stop and think, okay, you need to do something that's not writing, that's not reading, that's not reviewing. You need to turn off your brain. What are you going to do? And I have a very specific list because it's really easy for me to just work all the time because I love my job. I made up my job. Of course, I love my job, but I also need to not do my job. So my one piece of advice would be to have a list of things for you to do that are not work. Because
totally.
You need to rest to replenish all the creativity.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I have the opposite problem. Like I, because I used to write just in those, like, small times, like little times. And now that I have an entire day, I will just not do anything for 5 hours. And then I'll be like, oh crap, I just wasted 5 hours. I must write 4,000 words in the next hour. It's that panic moment.
I understand completely. Mm-hmm. But no time is wasted. Rest is important. And when you're when your brain can't produce the words, there's a reason for that. My other piece of advice, if you don't mind one more.
Oh, no, please give me all of them.
I think for me, when I was trying to run the site and do a full-time job, and I had little kids, the thought for me was, oh, okay, if I did this full time, here are all of the things that I could do in addition to writing and promoting. I could build this. I could be on this social media platform. I could be doing all of these things. And when it was my job, I had to actually think very strategically, okay, what do I actually want to do? And what's going to be a good return on my time? Because just because I have all of this additional time doesn't mean I need to be present on every single platform out there. And this was 12 years ago. We didn't even have half the platforms that we have now.
Right.
So I had to think strategically, what are the things that are actually going to help me build a livelihood that I enjoy and that I like doing?
Of course. Yeah, totally.
Because you've got all this time. Okay, yes, but you still have a finite amount of energy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right?
Like, I totally get that. It's, and you know, we being an author and, like, the promo is always like, oh God, should I be making a TikTok right now? Should I be doing the other thing? And at some point you just have to say, okay, I'm not going to be on Twitter. I cannot be on Twitter and be a sane person. You have to make a choice.
Yes. So. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to make a choice. But when you choose to put your creative job first, it's so fun. Like, I can tell you all of the things I struggle with and all of the things where I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem next year. What am I going to do? Like, I think about my business all the time, but I love what I do. I love my job. So welcome to the I Love My Job Club.
Thank you. It is. It's such a privilege.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's very rewarding. It's just really nice to wake up in the morning and knowing that you can, like, dedicate your energies to the thing that you like the most. It's really exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So congratulations also on the Loathe to Love You anthology.
Ah, oh, thank you.
Novellas. Yes. Ah, yeah. Tell me everything. Were these novellas that were written as you crammed into the little time around your day?
Yes, most definitely. Written and copy edited and everything. So the novellas were actually originally really, really short fan fictions. Like they were like, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 words right. fan fictions that I wrote back in my fan fiction writing days, which are still not necessarily over, you know, but like my at the apex of my fan fiction production. And then my agent and I kind of had the idea of taking some of the fan fictions and kind of like binding them together with a theme. And the theme was, you know, enemies to lovers on the workplace.
Right.
And basically what I did was like I expanded them a lot. Mm-hmm. So they ended up being now they're like 30,000 words each.
Oh, that's a bit of an expansion.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was and of course I changed a bunch of detail. Like basically what stayed was like the general trope and the general atmosphere.
Right.
And I bound them together by basically making the main characters be friends. They are friends who just got their PhDs and they are, all three of them are engineers, but they are engineers in different fields. And what they have done is, you know, graduated and then they have moved in different cities and, you know, each one of them kind of is, you know, trying to succeed at their job and they all end up with, you know, either other engineers or other people who are doing like engineer adjacent jobs. And yeah, it was really fun to just kind of write it. And so the novellas have been out in ebook for a while, in ebook and audiobook. It was this kind of weird experiment that my publisher, Berkeley, was doing. They started with audiobooks. They put all the novellas out in audiobooks and then in ebook and then now in print together with an extra bonus chapter that's just, that's new, I think. I think it's not in the ebook, but I don't know. Don't trust me. Jack.
Who knows what publishers do? It's all a mystery. Yes. It's all a mystery.
And and now they're coming out on January 3rd, I think. Yes. Yeah.
So did you find the novellas and the short fictions easier than a novel, or do you like having the spaciousness of a novel for your stories?
It's definitely, you know, there are different challenges for different media, I would say, I guess you can call them different media. With the novellas, like you said, there's less room. So it's a little bit hard to like take the character from the we hate each other stage to the, oh, wow, I love you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life stage. So there's definitely part of it was just kind of playing with the timelines.
Yeah.
All three novellas have these alternating timelines that felt kind of necessary to me to be able to tell like a complete story. I really like slow burn, and I know it's hard to do slow burn with a novella, but like I kind of wanted to show the passage of time, even in the novellas in which there is this I would say the second novella, Stuck With You, is a little bit insta love, mm-hmm. in the sense that they meet and they have a date that night and they immediately fall for each other and then they have a falling out and they get back together when they get stuck together in an elevator. And there is a little bit of insta love, but I kind of wanted to have the room to show why they're getting so much into each other, you know? And to be able to do that and still like have rhythm in the novellas, I kind of end up getting a little bit creative with the timelines.
Yeah.
I hope it works. I have to say, it's definitely nice when you have, you know, 100,000 words, which is how long usually a novel, a full length novel is.
Yep.
You get a lot more opportunities to just, you know, kind of explore the relationship within the characters and explore the world that they live in. And
yes.
you can, you know, give them activities and have them do stuff that is not necessarily related to their romance, but still gives you insight on what they are doing in their lives.
Oh, for sure.
And that I definitely miss that. But it's nice to alternate the two things, because I remember I wrote the novellas in between, I think, my book two and my book three. Mm-hmm. And it was, and then my young adult book too. Like, I think I was, you know, kind of alternating between short form and longer form. And it's really nice to do both.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling, you
it
know?
It is. And with so much of fanfic being exploring the mundane parts of life that aren't in the main piece of media, whatever the canon is, so much of fanfic is exploring those mundane moments. Like, there's a yeah. reason why if there was a town of fanfics, there would be like 9 million coffee shops with all of the characters in them. Can you imagine, like, fanfic land, how many coffee shops there are going to be?
I would love that. There would be a lot of coffee shops, a lot of flower shops, and some of those flowers have like weird sex pollen stuff.
Yes, it would be a sex pollen flower shop. And then there'd be like a couple of bookshops, but one of them is a little creepy. You don't want to go in there. There's probably some woods, yes. maybe a playground, but there's going to be 90 million coffee shops, because the mundane yeah. aspect of being a person is often missing from the main story, because from the story the, has yeah. a narrative to progress, and fanfic fills in that mundane, familiar,
absolutely.
Comfort part sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's definitely what I got the most training
oh, yeah.
when it comes to write. And so, yeah, I definitely have to like make myself pace the books. I'm like, okay, now something has to happen, right? Like, make something change. I mean, in this scene, they're going to go do something.
You could just write 250,000 words of, you know, every coffee shop, right? Every coffee shop.
I love it. Like, I definitely would love it. I would have no objection to that. If my editor is okay with it, I'm okay with it.
That could be your next anthology. Coffee shops, nothing but coffee shops.
Yes, yes, this is a great idea. I'm gonna pitch it.
Sounds great. So I have a question. I have some quiz questions here.
I'm ready.
You have 15 seconds to find a fanfic to read. What do you look for first? Not necessarily the fandom. What tag are you going for first?
Omegaverse for sure.
Okay.
10,000%. It's my thing. I also have to say, most recently, the most thing I've been like the fic that I've saw the most in the last show.
Yeah.
I want to say
yeah.
that made me look for fic was House of the Dragon. And I don't know if you've watched it, but
I cannot watch that much violence, but I am familiar.
Yeah,
I have
it's a lot.
I can't put a lot of violence in my brain. It's not good for my brains. But what yeah. I do is I watch shows through GIF sets on Tumblr. So I have Perfect. All of the GIFs on Tumblr. I get the gist of the show. The only one where I'm wrong is there's that movie that's super violent. I want to say it's Kingsman with Mr. Darcy and Taron Egerton in a
yes,
tracksuit.
Yes.
Pretty sure that's a love story. Pretty sure just based on the gift sets that I've seen, that's a really hot romance.
I love that. It's Tumblr is very good at like spinning that narrative.
Oh, right.
And
yeah,
I am there for it. I yeah. am so there for it.
So I have watched this show through gift sets. I'm sure that okay. my interpretation of the show is a bit different from the reality. But if that was the last show that you were like, I have to find some fic, what were you looking for?
I was actually, you know, I was just looking for that, like what you say. I wanted, because I was looking for a canonical couple.
Yeah.
That's very problematic. Let us not go there. But I really just wanted, you know, scenes of them in their daily life, because yep. they were together in the show. So it's not like I needed that, but something like, you know, we call it fluff.
Yes.
Fluff in the sense of like, just literally what you were saying. These two people, you know, having coffee
or
going to IKEA. I had some, I was definitely like looking for a alternate universe AUs, with, you know, characters with that dynamic. So, kind of like two very powerful, very angry, I don't even know how to say it. Just two people who are really like combustible together,
yes.
but at the same time, clearly are into each other.
Yeah.
That's, That's what I was looking for, but in their daily lives.
I get it. I completely get it. Because if you are with somebody who is a combustible comparison for you, and then you go to the cereal aisle in the grocery store, you're going to fight about something. I mean, it could be Cap'n Crunch, but you're going to fight about something.
Oh my God. It's amazing. I remember one of the first fan fictions I ever wrote was about Spock and Bones first from Star Trek having to buy a house together because they were together. It was so random. And it was literally just a bunch of like place. It was them looking for houses. Like nothing happened. And then they bought a house. Like that's it. At the end, they bought it.
Yes. But that's the kind of thing where there's going to be a lot of fights. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you're up at 3 a.m. changing a diaper, when you're trying to buy a house, when the hot water heater goes out and your family is visiting, like this is when you're going to have conflict.
Yes.
Revealing. Yeah. I get it.
Yes. Totally.
I have one fandom that I'm in. Online outside of romance, my little brain candy fandom is the How to Train Your Dragon universe, which is deeply wealthy in terms of actual like canon. There's 3 movies. There's 3 different television shows. There's 2 spinoffs. There's a video game. Like it's just massive. But the creators of the movie, so the first one came out when my kids were little, and then the next one came out about 4 years later. And in the first movie, there's a main character. There's Hiccup and Astrid. The second movie starts and they're already together and they've been together for 5 years, but there's nothing filling in that time until after the movie comes out. Then they do a TV show. And I'm like, that was so mean. It was so mean. You just gave me the happy ending without any of the stuff beforehand. And oh my God, the
family. I know. I know. Yeah. We want to know the journey of
yes,
it.
Yes. Thank you. I was like, I get it. You're kissing. You're happy. But how did you get there?
It's also really fun because the How to Train Your Dragon is his name Toothless?
The dragon is Toothless, yeah.
Right. So the 2 dragons, there is like a white dragon and a black dragon, and yeah. A lot of gifts from that show are used in the Raylo fandom.
Yes.
People saying, oh, this is just like Raylo because, you know, the black and the white.
Yes.
And they're kind of enemies at the beginning, the dragons or something.
Yes.
That's very cute.
Yeah, she doesn't
that's
like
all I know.
Him. Yeah, he's domesticated. Yes. And she's like, ew. And he also thought, they all thought he was the only one of his kind left. And then there's this white dragon and she doesn't want to be around any humans.
Oh, I need to watch those movies, clearly.
Okay, they're so sweet. They're like, and I have all this nostalgia wrapped up in them, but they're one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, no, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So next question. What is your go-to cocktail or drink order when you go out?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You know, I don't have a go-to, but like anything that's kind of fruity, and very sweet.
Yes.
Like usually I will, like if I am in a place that I don't know, I will ask, what's the sweetest cocktail you have?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Yeah. I actually had, it was really sad because 2 days ago, I went to the doctor And then I got my blood work done and apparently my cholesterol is high.
No!
And on the phone, I got told, so just try not to drink very much. And I was like, what? But my God, my heart was broken.
No.
So I'm going to have to I think there won't be very many cocktails in my future. And I am very sad. But yeah, usually it's something very sweety, very fruity. I actually was just in Mexico for like a book thing. Mm-hmm. And I had one of the best cocktails that I've ever had. It had tequila, I think. Oh no, I think it had gin. Ooh. And then strawberry puree and weirdest thing ever, but amazing, strawberry ice cream in it.
Oh.
It was fantastic. Truly a fantastic cocktail. Highly recommend.
I do have something for you if you're trying not to drink, but you want to have like special drinks. All right. So this is totally a celebrity product, but I have seen so many great reviews of it. There's a company called Betty Buzz. I will put a link in the chat for you. This is from Blake Lively, who's married to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I love her.
Right.
She's also Taylor Swift's best friend.
So yes. Taylor writes songs and uses her daughter's name. Like they're all BF.
Yes.
It's like, wow, that's the fanfic. I want to know about like the four of them doing laundry.
Oh, yeah.
100%. What's it like when Taylor Swift and Blake Lively have like dry clean only clothes and they can't go to the dry cleaner? Like, what do they do?
And like the husbands. I mean, you can imagine Ryan Reynolds and then Joe is just like there looking at these Americans being weird.
What are you all doing? So Betty Buzz is her drink mixer company, but there are different mixers and you can drink them without alcohol or you can add alcohol to them. So they have like a Meyer lemon club soda and a ginger beer and a sparkling grapefruit drink that's supposed to be really good. So that
might be,
you know, get yourself some of those and then you can have like sparkly special.
I'm going to. It's going to be my cholesterol supplement or whatever. I'm so sad. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. So what is your favorite thing to cook with no recipe? I know you're Italian, so this is like a heresy question.
No, I mean, I'm actually not a very good cook. I can make tiramisu without even checking the recipe by now because before leaving Italy, I was like, there must be something that like I need to be able to do something of my people. Unfortunately, I come from a family where my mom is the kind of mom who's like, I'm going to do it. Like, she's a very good cook. And like with me and my sister, she was always like, while we were growing up, she's like, no, I'm going to do it. Like you guys don't bother. And it's not like she was teaching us in the meantime, or maybe she would have liked to teach us, but we were just like, yeah, whatever. Bye. So we unfortunately have not learned anything from our amazing cook of a mother. But before moving to the US, I was like, actually, I think I did it before moving to Japan because that was my first moving to somewhere that was like very different. I was like, I'm going to make tiramisu for everyone who's nice to me because I really, really wanted to have one recipe that I was able to make. And to this day, I make it like I went to Thanksgiving, to Friendsgiving, and I made tiramisu. So that's my recipe, my go-to.
Do you buy the lady fingers or do you make them?
No, I cannot make the lady fingers. I buy them, but you know what's
funny? I can't make them either. They never come out. I don't understand.
But what's really funny is that in Italy, there are two schools of thought. One is you use the lady fingers and the other one is you use like these other cookies that are more like shortbread kind of like these other cookies. Yes. And I am of the lady finger school of thought, but there are a lot of Italians who would be like, no, this other brand is better. And it's a fight. Everything is a fight in Italy. You know?
Well, yes, I knew that.
You know how we are.
I do. Yes, I do know. So what is your go-to karaoke song?
Oh my God. It would have to be something by Taylor Swift because, you know, Taylor. I'm not a very good singer.
That's okay. That's not the point.
Never the point. I feel like it would probably be Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift.
Ooh, good one.
Right. And it's a very emotional, intense song. So yeah.
I was in the car the other day and I am guessing that the person who was in the car next to me also had Sirius XM on the exact same channel. I look over and we are both belting anti-hero, like dead on having a simultaneous concert at the red light. And I was at the, yes. I was one on one part, I was deeply thrilled. And on the other hand, I was like, this is the most embarrassing thing that will happen to me today.
No, this is the best moment of your life. You are in communion with the universe.
Yes. And we're all singing the same song at the red light. I was, and if you think about it, like Sirius is literally hundreds of channels. And this person and I are both rocking out to this one song at the same time.
I love this for you. Yes. I love it. It's the alternative to Taylor's concert. Since yes. No one can go to Taylor's concert.
Yeah, I don't like crowds or loudness, so I was never going to be in that ticket line. But yeah, that was my concert.
It's exactly. You got it.
So what food do you crave the most?
It's chocolate. Like yes. I just, everything with chocolate. My favorite kind of chocolate is Kinder chocolate, which you guys don't have a whole lot here in the US.
I am familiar with the Kinder. It's very sweet.
It's so good.
But it's a milk chocolate, right?
It's milk. And then inside it has that like white thing that they say it's milk. They sell it to you. In Italy, they sell it to you as a healthy thing. You're basically drinking. It's like drinking a glass of milk. That's how we do it.
Yeah. So. My chocolate candy bar is healthy. I love this. This is great.
We in Italy also we think that Nutella is a good food to have, like a healthy food to have for breakfast, because it gives you a lot of energy. And I am going to fight whoever says that this is not correct, because I have seen many Nutella commercials and I have been fully indoctrinated. Definitely chocolate.
I think that's an excellent choice.
I also just remember that I have not opened my advent calendar this morning while talking about this. And I'm so glad that when we get off, I'm going to be able to go get my advent calendar.
Is it chocolate?
It is. I have three, actually.
Well, I mean, you got to do it right.
Yeah. I mean, two are presents, to be fair. So
Fine. We make a homemade pizza on our grill sometimes. And we have started taking a crust, just the crust. Grilling the crust, then bring it in and put like get an offset spatula and just smear Nutella on the hot pizza crust.
Oh my God.
And then you drizzle fruit or honey or powdered sugar. Or if you're feeling really festive, get some Lucky Charms cereal with the marshmallows, sprinkle that on top, and then that is our dessert pizza.
I am ready to move in.
Okay,
so
come on over. I have teenagers. We'll have to make do.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Like I am ready. I will make you tiramisu and you will make me that pizza.
I love this
that
plan.
Sounds amazing.
It's so
honestly.
Good. It is so good. And the thing about Nutella is that it gets everywhere. You can try to be careful. It's going to be on the back of your hand. It's going to be on your face. It's going to be on my nose. Like it just gets everywhere.
It's like sand. It gets
everywhere. Yes, it gets everywhere.
It's so true. It's Nutella knows how to infiltrate herself in your life.
Yes.
It's a skill. It's a very Italian skill.
Yeah. Nutella wants to be with you.
Exactly.
Okay. Last silly question. If you built a castle for yourself to live in, what would you name it? We've reached the I live in a named house phase of fame now.
of our career.
Yes.
This is most pleasing. I would probably name it Cringeland. And Cringeland. It would be the tackiest, cringiest, weirdest place. And I would have so many cats. And everyone would be invited to cringe with us.
Love it.
I am, like Taylor Swift said, I am learning to live alongside my cringe.
Yes.
So that is, I am reclaiming my cringiness.
I just picture if you had a castle called Cringeland, there would be one room that would be nothing but Nicolas Cage.
Oh my God, yes.
And then there'd be another room that'd be nothing but Adam Driver without his shirt on.
Oh my God. Like truly zero. Like there will be five Adam Driver rooms, please.
Like, well, you have to cover all the different roles that he's played, right?
Oh yes. Yes. Perfect. You look at you.
Turtleneck glasses guy. I don't have
you
a shirt on.
You can come help me decorate Cringeland. Sure. You are the official decorator. You have been named.
No, don't do that. You can see what I have in my office. I have an old romance
that's
cover
amazing
on my wall.
I want like, I don't know if you ever saw that, like someone redid that or like a similar like body cleaned cover as a Raylo poster, like
I
written
have
by Ryan
seen
Johnson.
It.
Stunning.
It's gorgeous.
The most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Fan art is so cool. Like when you see a piece of fan art that not only captures the characters, but actually captures the feeling.
Yes.
That blows my mind because I can't do that. I'm not a visual artist person.
I know.
And I'm like, how did you do that? That's amazing.
I feel the same. Like I have so much respect for fan artists. I know.
It's incredible,
right?
There
with you.
Yeah. Do you have fan art in your office? Have you got, you've gotten fan art for your books,
so,
right?
We a ton. And I actually have a pile of stuff that I am going to hang up. I will actually also have weirdly fan art of other authors that I really love. Like someone made an alternative cover for, I don't know if you're familiar with Land of the Beautiful Dead by R. Lee Smith.
Yeah.
So it's one of my favorite books that I have ever read. And someone from my fandom, from the Raylo fandom, also loves that book. And she made an alternative cover because, and I say with the utmost love, the original cover is not like the prettiest thing ever. And
it's like one of those, what was the name of that test where they would show you an ink blot? And you have to say what's in the ink, a Rorschach test. Yes.
Yeah. The thing. And you know, it's, I think it's very much a stock photo. Like I don't think it's nice,
sure,
but it doesn't capture the beauty of the book at all.
No.
And I have that right there. Because I just moved, I haven't hung up anything, but I'm going to hang that up first. I cannot wait because that's how much I love that book. It's so inspiring
awesome
to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fantastic alternative cover. And I cannot wait.
So,
if anyone is interested, the artist who made it is her name is After Blossom, and her name After Blossom on Twitter, and her name is Kelly Chong. She's this Malaysian artist who is a genius. Highly recommend. Go check her out.
Ooh, I will. Oh, they have a store.
Oh my God! Yes. She's amazing. She is fantastic. And she has the best art. Like her heart is so emotional too. Highly recommend.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and they do Owl Crate versions.
Oh
like,
yeah.
That's incredible.
And yeah. She has done a lot of covers for, you know, authors, like book covers. And I know she's going to do more too. So she's really fantastic.
I love it. Okay. So this is a big question. It goes back to what we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. If you could go back in time to when you were writing your first book or your first fanfic, what mm-hmm would you tell yourself? Do you think back to, you know, back then, Allie, and think, wow, you had no idea. You had no idea what was coming.
I often think that like so many things went well for me to be able to, you know, end up eventually publishing my book and like mm-hmm having a publishing deal and, you know, having an agent and having the amazing editor that I have. I think, especially because I was just writing for myself and for fun for so many years, mm-hmm, I think I tell myself, I guess I just would tell myself, really try to enjoy this as much as you can. I think part of it is because now that I'm publishing, there are a lot of things that have to do with creating story. Like there is the writing part, and that is difficult, but it's not by any means the hardest part of publishing. Like there are so many kind of like collateral things that happen and that are really, really difficult. And those things weren't really there when I was writing fan fiction. And so I would just like, I would just be worried, is my writing good enough? Am I the worst writer ever? Is this bad? And I wish I had more fun in my fan fiction years, and like while writing didn't have all the expectations that come with publishing. I wish I had taken advantage of that, you know? So I guess that's kind of what I would tell myself, or just kind of be happy and have fun, you know?
Yeah. That there's a lot of joy to be found in the doing of the thing, in the actual writing. And when it becomes your job, it can be hard to find the aspect of play.
Yeah.
In the creative process, even though the creative process is partially play, it's really easy for me to lose sight of, wait, hold on. This is fun. This is really fun.
And you know, you have many eyes on you once you publish, and that is an absolute privilege. Like the ability to share your stories with several other people is fantastic, but at the same time, it comes with, you know, responsibilities and with like fear of failing this opportunity that you've been given. So I don't want to say I took fanfiction too seriously, because fanfiction is not important, but I think I worried too much whether, you know, the thing that I was going to post was perfect or not, when at the time, maybe I should have just found like the joy of it, you know? And that's something that I wish, kind of going back, I did a little bit better. Yeah.
So what books are you reading that you want to tell people about?
I read recently Bear With Me Now, which is an adult rom-com by Katie Sheppard. And it's the story of this guy who goes into, like, he has basically an anxiety attack, ends up, he's in treatment for that, and he ends up in a rehab program in Montana. And there he meets this like wilderness guide and who saves him from a bear attack. And basically now, you know, he's immediately in love with her.
I mean, that'll do it, right?
She's fantastic and super kick-ass. But like, there are some misunderstandings, because she thinks that he is there for like alcohol addiction. And she doesn't fully understand why he's there, and he's not really forthcoming about it.
Right.
So he ends up, to like keep her close to him, he ends up hiring her as his sober companion. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's truly a comedy of errors, but it's also, it has, as someone who has very bad anxiety, it has a very, very good anxiety representation. And I truly enjoyed reading it. Like I was like laughing, but also crying. It was a lot of emotions. It was beautiful.
That's fabulous.
It's a very good book.
I love good anxiety rep in books. Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm not as alone in my head with my anxiety as I usually feel.
I know. I was actually like, I was reading this book by Amanda Jayatissa. It's a thriller. It's called You're Invited, but the main character has this thing where like she looks for signs in the environment to tell her whether something is going well or not. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's me. Like, I was reading and I was like, that's me in peak anxiety. Wow. It's amazing. Like, it's me. I'm not alone.
No.
It's not just me. It was really fantastic to read, because you feel less like you're the weirdo, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not the only brain that has these gremlins.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're all gremlins.
My anxiety is like a little gremlin on a hamster wheel, and then it just goes. And I'm like, look, could you just chill? And it's like 2:30 in the morning and something woke me up. No, it is not going to chill.
Yeah, it's yes.
Those 3 a.m.
Awake at 3 a.m. Must plan my future.
Yes.
Nights.
Must solve all the problems that are in front of me. Yeah. How did you like You're Invited?
It was really good. Have you read it?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to spoil you the twist, but I was, you know what, though? I don't know why I was so surprised. I mean, I was surprised by the twist, but also I also read the My Sweet Girl by Amanda Jayatissa, which is also an amazing thriller. And also that had one of those twists that I'm like, no way, that's not possible. And so I don't know, I should have expected a similar twist for the second one. And I mean, it's not a similar twist, but like, I should have expected to be shocked, and I didn't. And I was like, Amanda, how dare you do this to me every time? It was fantastic. I highly recommend it. If you're into thrillers, It's also like a very interesting book because it's narrated in several different ways. Like you have the point of view of the main character, and then you have this like transcript of police interviews. You slowly get to know everyone who's involved in the story, and you slowly like kind of you slowly peel back everything, and you're like you keep second guessing yourself, and you're like, wait, I think this person did it. No, this other person did it. No, yeah. This other person did it. It's very good. Fantastic, I would say.
I love stories with really dishy family secrets.
Oh yeah, that this is okay. You want to read this one?
Yeah.
It's
very dishy family secrets.
It's a family wedding. So mm-hmm. You have the family, and then it's one of those things when you're like, well, only this person would have a motive to kill her. And then you're like, oh, wait, everyone would have a motive to kill her.
Yep. I just love family drama because for me, the thing that's always the most fascinating in any story, in any genre, is the distance between what a character is pretending to be and what they really are. And once you start to figure out how far apart those things are, when that falls, it's like really delicious.
It really is. Yeah.
I do.
And it's such a good part of romance too. Like when you're like, oh, now I see you as you are. And the other person sees you as you are and loves you for that.
And likes you for that person. Instead of you needing to have a motive to kill somebody, you are loved and and fine. And you don't have to project this false image because this person sees you. That's one of the things I love about fake dating. We're both pretending. So there's always that element of, but I'm also being my honest self here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my favorite. All right. So where can people find you if you wish to be found on the internet?
Really, these days, I'm just on Instagram, which is just my name, Ali Hazelwood. I have a website that I will at some point update. I promise. It's alihazelwood.com. I have a TikTok, but it's mostly about my cats. I have two very cute cats. So if you want to see TikToks of my cats, it's Ali Hazelwood.
Why else would one be on TikTok? Except to look at people's cats.
That's what my FYP is. I literally have created it so that I can only see like cookie decorating TikToks and cats and dogs. Sometimes like I'll see a chinchilla and I'll be like, oh, new, cute, nice.
Okay.
But that's it.
Yeah. When the algorithm gives you cuteness, just keep it coming, right?
Exactly. Just like it yep, and watch yep, yep, the yep. entire video. So that's how you tell the algorithm what
I
you want.
I also love watching people clean things. It's so cathartic.
You know, my husband, like my husband is not on TikTok, but I showed him like this lady who was organizing her closet and he was like, can I see more of that?
Yes, it's so satisfying. Why is it so satisfying? I do not know, but I love watching people clean things. I subscribe to a subreddit of people posting before and after power washing pictures. And I'm like, this is just porn. This is porn. I'm looking at porn right now. Dirt porn. That's what I'm looking at.
I know. It's really good.
It's
I
so
know.
Thank you so much for doing this interview. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to Ali for hanging out with me. If you would like to find any of the books we talked about, they are in the show notes at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast. A small note of housekeeping. The HarperCollins union strike is still going on for almost 2 months now, and HarperCollins has refused to negotiate with the union. And as I announced on the site, we are now flagging when we would have recommended a HarperCollins title, but did not, so as not to cross the picket line. For this podcast, there was one HarperCollins title coming out in 2023 that I edited out of the dialogue. We support the HarperCollins union wholeheartedly and want them to be paid a fair wage. And we want HarperCollins to go to the negotiating table now. As always, I end with a terrible joke, and this joke is from Ray in the Discord. Thank you, Ray. This joke made me really happy. Why are Christmas trees so bad at knitting? Why are Christmas trees so bad at knitting? Because they constantly drop their needles. All right, I'll tell you a funny story from my old job. You know, a little extra bonus. My last full-time job, I was an executive assistant, and among the executives that I was supporting was an older gentleman who decided that he was going to write his memoirs, but he was going to write them by hand, and then he was going to hand me the notebook to make copies of those pages, and then I was supposed to transcribe them. Obviously, the overlap between professional and personal responsibilities was a little bit blurry at this place. So I would take his notebook and I would put it on the copy machine and I would make copies 300, 350 times the size of the actual writing because his handwriting was not easy to read. But it was actually a really interesting beginning to the memoir. He and his family had emigrated here in the 30s. They had escaped the Holocaust. And one of the stories that he told, I still think about. He used to ride around in New York on a bike with his friends. And as people put their Christmas trees out on the curb, because they were so dry, they would flick matches on them and light them on fire. And so you would see these massive bonfires. And you know that dry Christmas trees burn very quickly. These massive bonfires on the side of the road, one after the other after the other. And so now every time I see a Christmas tree by the side of the road, I think about him as a very small boy lighting them on fire in the 40s in New York City. I imagine his neighbors were not fans of this habit. So there, a little trip down my professional memory lane. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. We wish you the very best of reading, and we'll see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.